Welcome to Earth School, a weekly podcast about weaving the healing journey artfully into life, hosted by Rosalyn McNally and Bibi Dalman. This week, we're talking about breath. So welcome back, everybody. I'm really excited to be here with Rosalyn for another episode of Earth School. How are you, Rosie?
I'm good. Excited to be here and to talk and share about our breath and breath practices and what it means in our lives and how it can support other people as well. Yeah. So excited to dive into it with you.
Yeah, it's such a rich rich fabric, really, to dive into the breath. Should we start with the just maybe the pure mundane aspects of like, why would even, you know, why are we talking about the mundane in inverted commas? Why would we talk even about the breath when it comes to the healing journey? You know, where are the interconnections? Where are these beginning points? We say, okay, it makes sense to look at the breath.
Well, like for me, it's like our breath is our constant companion. It's there with us all of the time. Do you know, like, so no matter where we find ourselves, if we're in the shop, if we're in a workshop, if we're sitting in our desk at our office, if we're with our family, it's there with us, you know, so we can access it anytime. So we don't need any of the special tools, you know, like we don't need crystals, we don't need symbols, we don't need an empty space, we don't need to have nobody around us. And it's like the idea of all spiritual practices is that we can use them in busy places as well. But for me, it's that aspect that we have with us all the time, but we're maybe not aware of it, or we don't pay attention to it. And for me, the breath is such a powerful aspect when you begin to look at the different levels that it can help us access within ourselves, or even when we simply just begin to notice it. Like, because I see a lot of people will, you know, come to clinic and they just don't realize the power that they have within them and the power of the breath, you know, like, and we speak about it in our day-to-day language, like, do you know, as someone, we go, I can't catch my breath. Or if you watch somebody, like how they breathe, like where do they breathe into? Are they holding their breath? Do you know, like, and it's, sometimes that's in shock and trauma. Or it's just such a powerful thing to notice, where am I at with my breath? Because I think it's like something that can always teach us, like the quality of our breath teaches about ourselves. Just for me, every practice teaches me about me and my interaction with the world around me. So does my breath, like, so I just think it's really beautiful to look at it from that kind of perspective and that angle then as well, like, because it's the one thing we always have with us. It's the first thing we do, it'll be the last thing we do. And then what do we do in the little spaces between all of our breaths, or the space between our first and our last breath? So I just think it's a beautiful thing to work with, like, or to have more awareness around.
For sure. I think it's beautiful because it's both. It's to me, it's a temperature gauge in one way. You know, it's a tool that gives me so much information, but on the other hand, it is also a tool to re-regulate in a way. So it is both. It's under receptivity in terms of, you know, when we get familiar with our own breathing, we know when tension is building within the breath before it actually manifests into our life, before we feel the physical tension, before we oftentimes feel the tension building up in our relationships. And the same in the breath, we can oftentimes tell, you know, when we're wearing a little thin in terms of energy, or, you know, that we're holding a lot and, you know, the breath isn't filling us fully. And I think there's so much beauty in observing the breath, and so much wisdom in observing the breath, because sometimes we go straight into, you know, deepening the breath and take a big breath. And there's beauty and value to that as well. But I think there is a step before that that's really interesting. Because when I'm just spending time not fixing the breath, but being with the breath, I build sort of an intimate relationship with the breath. And then through that, I get to know myself better. Because really, when we think about the breath for most part of the day is unconscious. You know, we don't have to think and regulate the breath as such. It's a vital function of our body, along with a lot of other vital functions that we seemingly have no conscious control over, like the heartbeat. And, you know, you can't just think your heartbeat in a different way. You have to think about possibly a very dangerous situation, and as a result, the heartbeat goes up. But we can't really directly affect the heartbeat, and neither can we the body temperature. You know, we can't just think our way to 38 degrees and then back down to 37 mm-hmm. degrees. So there's a lot of, thankfully, unconscious patterning within our system that keeps us alive, that organizes our entire experience, how we are in this body. What's so different to the breath is that the breath can be both. It can be conscious and unconscious. So we can pull it out of this ocean of unconscious patterning within the body and take this one thing out and begin to observe it first. But then we also can begin to re-regulate in a different way. Mm. And then when we've re-regulated the breath, we send it back into the ocean of all these other patterns that are running unconscious to our mind, right? But not unconscious to the rest of the body. So there's very much, you know, aliveness going on there. But it's a way of communicating with all those layers within us. And I think mm-hmm. in a way, the breath that way is one that bridges worlds, right? Because it's something that happens very real in this body. Take a breath in and out. You know, you need mm-hmm. your nose, you need your lungs, you possibly, if you're breathing through your mouth, it's something you can feel your ribs and your musculature expanding and contracting. Something that happens very real here. But then when we talk about, you know, the breath sliding back into these unconscious patterns, we're almost entering a different world of awareness, a different world of being. So to me, it bridges the very physical realm with the more subtler realms. And it's a gateway into mm-hmm. these places that really regulate and organize so much of my life that I usually have no awareness around and no access point in adjusting, or I don't really like the word controlling because it's just so superimposed, but you know, affecting maybe the word. And mm-hmm. through the breath, I have the tool to both. I can sense what's going on a more subtle level, and then I can use and send the breath back in a different pattern to affect what is going on a subtler level. So it just has so many powerful and potent angles. But there are definitely two that, you know, when I'm teaching breath work and even in class, that we always work with. And they're both, they need both, they need each other, you know. Mm. I would never just come in and assume, let's place over a breath work pattern right over it before having actually watched your breath. Because it's in watching of the breath that you get so much information that's really building a full mm-hmm. picture for yourself in time. So it's both, and any information you have, you can weave that into how you work with breath work. So something so simple, as mm-hmm. you said, right, is that's always with us. We're queuing in line somewhere, or we're sitting mm-hmm. in the office about to write an email. But it's so potent and powerful.
It is, like, and as you said, like, you know, like when we get to notice our breath, you said you wouldn't just guide into a certain aspect. It's like sitting with what the breath is in that minute, like that we really get to go, we really notice for our own direct experience, oh, I actually don't think I've breathed today, or oh God, I haven't been conscious of my breath, or oh God, I'm actually holding it, or I don't want it to go further, or you get confused about how to breathe, or you find where the mind kicks in and going, this is how you should be doing it, or this is what you need to be doing. So it gives you so much information that you can work with then, like, but it really does like allow us to sort of meet parts of ourselves as well, like depending on what way we use our breath, you know, in the different practices, because there's so many different layers and levels to it that we get to meet ourselves. But then we really get to meet the mind, like, and how it's meeting the breath, especially in some more of the more sort of activating breath practices. Like, you're really getting to meet the mind where it goes, yawn, sleep, distract, think of anything, stop breathing, please stop breathing, because you're maybe pushing into little parts of ourselves that are looking to be released, but need the breath. We're using the breath as the tool to start molding them and start sort of, you know, you're like little bubbles, you know, you like push little bubbles and you're going to bust it, but you're like initially going, oh, I don't know if I want to bust it. And to me, it's like the breath is going into those spaces, like each time to the level that our body wishes to release at the same time, which is, I think, the most important thing to remember in any breath practice and work, is our body knows how to release. It knows what is ripe for the picking. So the breath, in a sense, can't go in and make something happen, but it will be really there to push against and move and relax and open up those spaces then, like, that way. So you're really meeting sort of the unconscious parts of ourselves, the parts that are hidden or a little bit more that we can't access through the mind. Like, I think that's the beauty of the breath work, is that it takes us into the feeling. You know, like, and sometimes we might not need to feel the feeling, but it's still the feeling of the body. But we'll definitely meet where we're meeting our capacity, or those places of resistance, or those places that the breath's going, I want, like, we need to breathe through this rather than just meet it at its edge. Like, and I love sort of watching that there, and I love meeting it in myself, and I love seeing it in other people where the mind's just like, yeah, not today. You know, and to be respectful of that as well at the same time, but to really be honest with ourselves. I always think that's really important, just to be honest with ourselves, going, I met it and I just close the door in its face and went, not today. Do you know, like, and then another day, at least we know it's there, and we can go, okay, I can breathe. Maybe I need someone to be with me while I breathe and open the door to allow me to meet it. Like, but I just think it's fascinating, like, what you meet in yourself just with the thing that you have with you all the time.
Yeah, and in that way, you know, we touched on it here, like the different ways of working with the breath, and whether it's, you know, using the breath really to shift something, or then one way of how I like to work with the breath is to think of the breath instead of the breath that we draw in and out through our nose. It's what's mechanically called external breathing, because you take the breath from the external environment and fill your lungs with it. There's a process that's called internal breathing or cellular breathing, and it's where essentially the cells absorb the oxygen from the bloodstream into within the cell parameters, and then releasing CO2 back out into the bloodstream. But when we move away from that mechanical understanding of you know, internal breathing or cellular breathing, but really sense into the body, and can I actually sense, not think about, but sense, my lungs moving, but then can I actually also sense, let's say, the cells in my muscles breathing? And so this is when you start with that, it can be quite challenging, because your mind is always thinking about it and wants to make the breath happen, you know. So another way of working with the breath is just to watch the breath within the body, you know, within on a cellular level. Can you feel that pulsation? Because again, that is it's an echo or reverberation from that expansion contraction that comes with the very first breath we take at the beginning of our life that you referred to earlier, and at the end, right? Even our life happens between that very first expansion and then the very last contraction or release, if you wish. And so to sense that in our body, to me, working with the breath on that level works as a reminder of our aliveness, you know. And it's not just something that happens in our body. When you actually feel it in your body, it's a felt experience, a visceral experience of how every part of you is taking part in this process of expansion and contraction, that is contextualized within that great life that we get to live, you know. And what this cellular breathing does to me is it awakens up capacities of awareness. It's almost like these little bubbles, like you were talking about, as well as restrictions. There is also these adhesions on a physical level that can come from, whether it's a physical impact or whether it's psychological, emotional, where parts of our physical texture are just not taking part in the whole breathing process. And the way to work with that, and that's why I love the breath, because there are moments where we really need to push through. And then there are parts and other ways of working with the breath where it's really, where you don't want to push through, where you just want to, the more hesitant and resistant that part of your body is, the more gently you want to watch as the breath comes in, and it's not even you breathing, but watching and sensing the breath move that part, or, you know, interacting with that part, and what begins to happen oftentimes. And sometimes after just a couple of moments, and sometimes you need a couple of weeks of practice, that these parts in your body, in your physicality, begin to, this adhesion start to soften and they release. And so as a result of that, this part of your body that was stuck and sort of isolated within itself is now starting to become part of the greater body that you're living in, that greater sense of self. So in a way, such a simple practice, but taking that over a couple of weeks, focusing on different areas in your body and staying with each area a little bit, it's like an invitation to connect everything to that life force, to, you know, maybe a more modern way of saying is to really own everything you have, or re-embody yourself in all of that's really there on a physical and all these other levels. And so this cellular breath work can be super, super powerful, and it can be done especially, and that's what I love about the breath, right? It can be done especially when you're sick. It can be done when you can't move. It can be done when you don't have to sit up or you don't have the energy to it. It's literally watching the breath. And then on other times when you have the energy, you go really in and you work actively with the breath. So it's such a versatile tool that I think is just, I'm in love with the breath and breath work in that way. Yeah.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. So it is like that way. So it's a doorway to, it's like a medicine you think that you get to administer to yourself in whatever way you wish, depending on what you feel your body needs. Not well, like, yeah. And within the practice that I have, like within Reiki, there's different ways of using the breath versus breath work versus shamanic work. That way, like, it's all the breath, but sort of the intention, just like anything we do, the intention always plays a part in it. Like, so in Reiki, it's all about the Hara breathing, and it's just very gentle becoming aware of the breath and eventually learn to guide it down into the Hara. But it's used to cultivate our Hara energy, which is our center point or focus, with one of the ideas is that by cultivating that higher energy, we're really grounded, we're really centered. So we're like the roots of the trees that are really growing deep into the earth. And therefore we can go, like, our branches can extend, but our trunk is really strong as well. But they would look at it from the perspective, which is a lot of ones will do, will be that you're born with so many breaths. So if you use all those breaths up, then like, what's next sort of thing. So the idea is learning to sort of elongate the breath or be with the little pauses of the breath, but also then using that breath through the chanting practices of really learning how to cultivate that breath. So the chanting's even coming from the Hara. So everything's stimulating the sort of the energy that we were born with, the energy that we brought into the world with us. So it's increasing that power, that energy, like, which I love. That idea is that it's once again, it's in you, but you're extending it, you're growing it, you're feeding it, you're tending to it. But it's also then helping with the mind, because the idea is like you're bringing the mind down into the body as well, bringing the mind down into the Hara and expanding the mind through the breath. So you can become more open-minded, which I think is just beautiful. Like, so I do, like, I remember when I was first taught that, I was like, that makes so much sense to me. Do you know, because we chat about, you know, can we sit with people who have different perspectives, different way of looking at life, different way of navigating their path or navigating the thing that we may have navigated 3 months ago? Can we be there with somebody and let them do it their way? Like, and I just think it's lovely, that idea of you're opening the whole system, but by sort of opening the system in a way, it's still being held, it's still being contained, it's full of your own inner power, but then you get to share from that space rather than thinking it's something that's coming through you and you're sharing with it. Like, but it's not, you're not losing energy, because it's this infinite energy that is regenerated all of the time. Like, which I just love that way of looking at it in Reiki, like, so I do. And then with the breath work, it is that activation. It's about breathing through, letting the body release what it needs to release. Like, but at the same time, while all of that is happening, breathing in the sort of the source energy, so you have more of your essence coming into you, like, and feeling that space too, and being inspired by that space. For some people, they might see things, they might feel things, they'll get insights, whatever it is they need. But it really is that meeting the body. But the first, like, nearly 9 minutes is the, can I breathe through the mind? Can I allow my mind to take a back seat for this portion? And that can be the hardest part, you know, it's kind of like sort of in plant medicine too, that part where you leave the body. Can I let myself leave the body? Like, do you know, can I allow my mind just to be still, close off for a while, and let my body direct the healing, like my soul direct the healing? And I love that part of that there, like, because you're really getting to see where the mind is going. No, where it's looking for safety, where it's looking for security. You're getting to feel in the body where it's going, where you're holding, like, and some doing a lot of sessions with somebody at the minute, just to see over a long period of time, like, sort of what they're experiencing, like, and it's really interesting where they're feeling like nearly, you know, almost like the little circles around themselves, where they're meeting one layer, moving through that, meeting the next layer, or meeting where they're reversing, going, oh, I don't know about that one, but where they're seeing they're reclaiming more of their energy, like, so they're just feeling it in their day-to-day energy levels, never mind everywhere else in their life. But for them, that's the biggest shock, is I have more energy, like, you know. So they're unlocking parts of ourselves that, like, all energy healing does, like, and all energy work does, is releasing energy that is ours by divine right, but we've sort of either squished it down, closed it off, or it doesn't know how to move, or it's held for specific reasons through trauma, through whatever. So it's releasing and giving us back what is already inside us, like. I just think it's amazing.
That's gorgeous. Yeah, because to me, it's like building on what you were saying there, the breath, really, the healing aspect comes from so much about surrendering back in and acknowledging into this coming of going of the breath, right? Because at no point is the breath really still. Like, there's not, you know, it's not like you found 30 years into your life the perfect inhalation, you hold on to the one inhalation. There needs to be, it seems so obvious, but we do this with every other aspect in our life. We find the perfect relationship or the perfect job or the perfect situation, and that's just so, and then we're holding on to that, you know. And so in a way, working with the breath, I always love, like, working with symbolism and what the breath really represents in that way. It's really the aliveness that we feel comes from an inherent allowing of the coming and going. And anytime we, for whatever reason, and lock something in or out, which may have a very good reason why that happened, in terms of trauma, in terms of, you know, ancestral lines, in terms of, you know, just as we step into our own growth, you know, it can be scary at times, and we're trying to stabilize, and, you know, sometimes we stabilize in one way or the other way. And so acknowledging all of that, there are very valid reasons for it, but ultimately, whether I'm locking myself, parts of myself, physically isolate them to tension, or push them out of my life, not inhabiting them, either way, there's a stagnation, right? There's an attachment or an aversion, but either way, it's stuck in that place. And to me, the breath just offers, on even way before the physical level, on a symbolical level, this invitation to re-engage what means to be alive, you know. And what means to be alive is this change of this expansion, this pulsation process, whether it's an inhalation, exhalation, or, you know, the day begins and comes to an end. And the breath work, especially with Katona yoga that I've experienced, one of the analogies that has been used there, which is beautiful, is the breath and the seasons. You know, like this idea that the inhalation is like spring rising, and everything that you associate with when you get out into life, and after the winter month, and, you know, there's this excitement and building, and then there's the little pause after the inhalation, which is really summer ripening, harvesting, and really acknowledging how far you've come, and leaning back, and, you know, looking at life, and that pause in it, and then the exhalation being like, you know, like autumn, the leaves falling, something is being released. And then there is the pause after the exhalation, which really is representative of the winter month, the quietness, the emptying, holding out empty. And so even in that way of looking at the breath, there is cyclical movement, you know. Even the holding of the breath moves on again. And when we lay that onto, you know, if you look at any plant or any animal in the natural world, what indicates, you know, decay is really the stagnation of growth, or the ability to go with the changing of it. When a tree is dead, it becomes very harsh and hard and dead in that way, and it doesn't, you know, the movement isn't there anymore. And so when we really look out, and when we think of what we think of is alive out there in the world, are the trees and plants that go with the seasons, you know, the ability to really leave everything behind in the winter months, just so that there is this new growth that comes again. And to me, the breath is a reminder, because really, I think all that we're doing, we're not really learning something new. Although our conscious part is learning something new, I think so much of it is just remembering a way of being, because we are part of nature and these cycles are within us. And to me, breath work is a tool to remember that. And so then I can recognize whether it's on a psychological conscious level where I've held stuck in one of those phases, or on a level that's way beneath labeling, you know, where that is stuckness. And so by working with the breath in these different ways, it just allows, you know, on a symbolical level, that invitation to movement, and that opens then slowly up other areas. Psychologically, we may be, you know, inviting in ideas and options and choices that beforehand were not an option, you know, and so the healing can kind of ripple in from that. But really, to me, the breath is a realignment with the natural rhythms, with our natural rhythms as well.
Beautiful, like, yeah, beautiful. Gorgeous.
So, where, I mean, there's so many beginning points, right? But if you, let's say, if someone is listening, and maybe for both, maybe somebody's been listening and has been doing some sort of breath work, what sort of would be, is there something that you, a piece of advice or a guidance or a reflection that you want to give someone who's already sort of working with the breath in that way? And then also maybe for, if somebody's listening who has never worked with breath, and I was like, well, you said active breath, and then you said passive breath, and you know, there's so many different ways of working with the breath. Where do I even start? Just from your level of experience, what you've seen happening, where would you guide people along that journey?
So if somebody already has a breath practice, or is aware of breath, or goes to yoga, or goes to anything where they're working consciously with their breath, it would maybe to bring another level of awareness to it, I think. Because if we're doing something a long time, or we think we know it, or you know, like, oh, I've done the rodeo on this here, we can actually just, in a sense, do a job on ourselves. So we're like, oh, well, like, you know, I've done this. So our mind could be wandering during it. We could be staying within our comfort zones. We could be not mastering it. We could be just allowing ourselves just to be doing it versus being in it. So as to catch, you know, that the habitual, because like anything, the more we do it, it can become a habit. You know, so can I bring another level of awareness to it? Where am I maybe staying within my comfort zone? Maybe where am I zoning out? Maybe where am I showing up only half-heartedly? You know, like, so looking at all the different sort of habits you've got into around it, looking into sort of where the mind is with it, looking into maybe exploring the body more with it as well, like sort of seeing where in the body do I allow it to go very easily, maybe where I just don't bother letting it go at all, maybe where I stop breathing, you know, like, because we'll still do all those things that we would have done it when we were first learning. So it's kind of like, can I bring fresh eyes to it? That's what I would invite, like, in a different level of awareness, because we get into habits, and therefore this becomes routine rather than going deeper into it. So like, if you're doing something a long time, the invitation is always, can I go deeper? That's what I would say for that there. And then for those who are sort of new to it, are going, I breathe, and is that not enough? And that is enough. But it's to maybe, so A, you may go, it's just, it doesn't sound like it's for me, but it can be bringing awareness to your breath in day-to-day basis. Do you know, very simply, asking, like, because if we look at it, the quality of our breath can be seen as the quality of our life. Am I afraid to take a big, deep breath into myself? Therefore, maybe am I afraid to take a big, deep breath of life into myself? Do you know, like, or if I'm holding my breath, am I trying to hold what's in this space at this minute in time versus allowing it to release and to let it go? So even just noticing, you know, maybe what I speak about my breath. Am I always saying I can't catch it, or, you know, it gets caught in a certain place, or I feel like I never draw a breath? Do you know, so watch the language, or even just noticing throughout the day, you know, like the way people do the little mindfulness thing, the little ding, you know, you can do the little ding and go, okay, am I breathing at this minute? Have I really noticed my breath? Can I stop now and maybe just notice it without having to change it or do anything with it? So bring up, this is the starting point of everything, is the awareness. But then if people are looking to explore it, like if you already do yoga, start looking into, like, you'd know far more about that there, Sabala, like the pranayama aspects or the different aspects of it. There's obviously breath work practices that are purely breath work. And then even if you have Reiki, like noticing, okay, I don't have any of those practices, like, and then start exploring where can I learn them, because there's such a massive component, because Reiki is just not hands-on healing, like it's so many meditation practices and breath practices in it. Like, and then for anybody else, just start Googling breath and see what calls you, what draws you. Try a few different ones because they're not all the same either. So it's like some of us, some days we need something gentle. Some days we need a kick up the back end. Do you know, like, so allowing ourselves to choose from all the different options as well. Like,
I think that's lovely as well for, you know, if you've never had any experience or exposure with, like, you know, breath work as such, to also trust your intuition. You know, usually there's always a book that falls off the shelf, or there's always a course that pops up somewhere, and, you know, just like, you know, taking a moment going, is this for me? And if the body sort of answers yes, then just to follow that call, and also understand that that might be your first entryway in it. Maybe the breath you stay with it for the rest of your life, where it would be something that is an entry point, and then you move on and find something different. I think very much as well, if you're trying something and something doesn't resonate with you, try a couple of different practices. A couple of different teachers even can make a huge difference, and not even that one teacher is necessarily better than the other. I think we have to really watch that, but how somebody brings something across may just resonate with you at this point in time. You know, and then at another point in time is another teacher. So even within the same modality, exploring a couple of teachers in that way. And if you've been practicing yoga for a while, but, you know, apart from like a 1 minute breath practice at the end of your physical class, you haven't dived deeper into it, don't be afraid of ask your teacher. You know, ask your teacher. I think we are at there's an emerging of a need that has now risen to the surface, that more and more people are looking for that. And a lot of yoga teachers are qualified, and a lot of yoga teachers are practicing breathwork within themselves. But it is something that we have collectively as a yoga community almost disowned. You know, we do the physical asana practice, and when I'm taking yoga into the mainstream, this is what we're doing. And I know from training a lot of teachers that there is a longing, and like mentoring other teachers, there's a longing from the teachers to actually bring that work forward. So if you go into a class and your teacher doesn't teach that much breath work in that particular class that you go into, ask them for privates, ask them, do you teach a breath work class somewhere? You know, especially now online people bringing other things up to the surface that, you know, may not have happened beforehand in a classroom. So that would be for sure. Or just ask them, listen, can I have a one-on-one? Would you teach me breath work? And that's really an invitation for the teachers as well, to allow students to come in that way and teach them the foundations. And so when you have 2-3 minutes breath work as part of your physical practice, they can go deeper within that already, you know. And if you're a seasoned breath work practitioner, what I would say, that's what I also say always to yogis who've been practicing physical asanas for a while, just look at your habits very kindly and your preferences. And, you know, if you're in your physical practice, your preference is to always go into strong classes, try something more mellow. If your preference is always going into something very soothing and mellow, try the old stronger practice. Goes the same for breath work. You know, if you have a certain habit and you feel at home, there is for sure benefit in sticking with something for longer in terms of mastering it. Not, you know, skipping along just when it gets interesting and juicy and going like, I'm not gonna go there and go on something else. So sticking with something, but then, like what you said, after a while it becomes, it's like one of my teachers always, like, it's this, you know, when we have a sofa and there's a side that we like to sit on, it's the good sofa, and there's one part that's always very well sat on, and the other one after years is brand new. And it's this idea that after a while your strength becomes your weakness. And this is something, again, Abby from Katona Yoga, I just want to pass it on to her. That's one of the analogies she for sure uses. I believe Dejas has mentioned that as well. So it's not something that I came up with, but to me, it just resonated so well, that idea that which we do so often, that becomes so habitual, can eventually become part of the problem almost. You know, in a way. So trying the other side of the sofa every once in a while, just to have a point of context and polarity, to notice yourself in that way. But the invitation is to for all of us, you know, it doesn't matter if you're breathing consciously, you know, for decades, it's can I build a more steady relationship with the breath? Can I feel it more often? It's not so much about manipulating it as a first step. It's always, can I be with the breath more often? And what I've found is that whenever I'm in contact with the breath, all of life becomes a little more enhanced. You know, the relationships are richer, the conversations are deeper. I can sense everything that comes into my system resonates on a deeper level. There's more connection within me to understand and process that information. So even at that level, I feel there's so much life force that has been invited the moment you engage with the breath in any way. Yeah.
Lovely.
So before we wrap up, is there anything, I mean, we've gone so far, right? But is there anything that I think we might even do another breath podcast episode down the line. But for now, is there anything that that you want to add before we're closing out, Rosaline?
Not that I can think of. Well, I guess just breathe and see where it takes you. But for me, it would be if people have any questions or would like to know more about certain aspects, then we can dive into those then from those angles.
Yeah, gorgeous. So for sure, if you have any questions, and it doesn't matter if you listen to this podcast months after its release date, do always get in touch. We love to hear from you. And we will get back to you as well, or even bring it the question in without necessarily mentioning your name, but bringing in the essence of the questions into this conversation. Because usually if you have a question and you speak up, there's another handful of people that has the same question or didn't even know to have the same question. So it's always helpful if you just get in touch in that way. Beautiful. It's been a pleasure, as always, Rosaline, to spend this
always.
Time with you. Love those chats.
You too.
And thank you so much to everyone who's been listening. I hope you have a beautiful week, and we'll hear you in the next podcast. Until then, much love.
Bye. We'd like to thank you for listening to the Earth School podcast hosted by Rosaline McNally and Bibi Dalma. If you'd like to find out more about the podcast, you can follow us on Instagram. Or if you'd like to learn more about our individual work, you can check us out on our websites, bbdalman.com and thethirstysoul.com.